Ah, but she was the queer old skewsh anyhow, and Olivia trinking toes. And sure he was the queer old one.
Stand here, you fucking bamboo, sir. Kelkusser.
Wollte der Bach sei ein Fluss, der Fluss sei ein Strom.
Oči da ne vidijo.
Kako misliti umetnost v vesolju, topologija nečloveških agentov? Človek je že od nekdaj želel preseči svojo vertikalno pozo na Zemlji in zauzeti neskončno prostranstvo vesolja. S tehnološkim napredkom mu je to tudi uspelo. Mapiranje človeka v širšem prostoru kozmosa je privedlo do razmisleka o vključitvi humanistike in umetnosti v vesoljski program. Zahteva po kulturalizaciji vesoljskega programa se postavlja nasproti militarizaciji in komercializaciji. Kulturno središče evropskih vesoljskih tehnologij je novembra prejšnje leto s konferenco Out of the Cradle ponudilo prostor tematiziranju pozicije človeka v vesolju na presečišču znanosti, humanistike, umetnosti in tehnološkega inženiringa. In če je omenjena konferenca v Ksevtu privedla do skupnega pogovora znanstvenikov, humanistov in umetnikov o vprašanjih povezanih s kulturo in umetnostjo v vesolju, sta jeseni v istem prostoru Miha Turšič in Špela Petrič predstavila enega izmed možnih odgovorov. Delo Voyager, nečloveški agent, ki predstavlja model algoritmične umetnosti. Signal, ki ga je ustvarjal nečloveški agent, je postal drugi, ki bi potencialno lahko obstajal v vesolju kot avtonomna umetniška struktura brez človeške prisotnosti. V tem kontekstu vesoljski sondi Voyager s svojim 36-letnim potovanjem umanka ključni podatek o človeški civilizaciji na planetu Zemlja. Kreativni aspekt človeka, ki je zmožen ustvariti novo umetniško paradigmo za vesolje in ne zgolj reprodukcija obstoječega umetniškega izraza, shranjenega na pozlačeni gramofonski plošči. Delo Voyager, nečloveški agent, je bilo prejšnji mesec predstavljeno tudi v galeriji Kapelica. Prejšnji četrtek pa se je postavitev zaključila s simpozijem Topologija nečloveških agentov, na katerem so trije govorci postavili temelje postopkov ustvarjanja in razumevanja umetnosti v vesolju, na meji in izven našega osončja, brez prisotnosti človeka. Kako torej misliti umetnost v vesolju? Ob tem pustimo ob strani Space Art in Zero Gravity Art, ki aplicirata metodologijo umetnosti na Zemlji v okolje nove estetike in svobode breztežnostnega prostora. Odprimo oči za nov jezik in novo logiko v umetnosti, ki bosta formirala popolnoma nov umetniški sistem v vesolju. Pa pojdimo po vrsti, kot se je odvijal tudi sam simpozij. Prva točka – entiteta, druga – arhitektura, tretja – algoritem. Pred seboj pa imemo ves čas okolico, globino vesolja izven našega osončja. kamor človek ne more, a si vseeno želi tam ustvarjati in postaviti delo svojih rok. To delo je drugi, nečloveški agent, oblika živega, ki bo generirala umetnost. In sedaj zapolnimo prazne prostore pojmovne mreže s krajšimi izseki iz treh predstavitev, ki vsaka svojega področja sestavljajo sliko nove umetniške strategije za vesolje. Prva točka. Kaj so entitete oziroma oblike živega, ki bodo v vesolju proizvajale umetnost? Globoko v vesolju to ne more biti človeško telo, zato je treba definirati obliko živega, ki bo namesto človeka opravila vesoljsko potovanje. Na simpoziju naj bi o tem spregovoril znanstvenik Martin Hanzik, vodilni raziskovalec protocelic in živega tudi izven področja kemijskih procesov, v digitalnem računalništvu. Ker se Hanzik simpozije ni mogel udeležiti, smo si ogledali njegov videoposnetek, v katerem je predstavil eksperimente, s katerimi je možno ustvariti umetno življenje, oziroma nekakšno primitivno celico.
What we're going to be talking about here tonight are experiments done on the sort of non-living end of this spectrum. So actually doing chemical experiments in the laboratory, mixing together non-living ingredients to make new structures, and that these new structures might have some of the characteristics of living systems. So what I'm talking about here is trying to create a kind of artificial life. So what are these characteristics that I'm talking about? These are that we consider first that life has a body. Now this is necessary to distinguish the self from the environment. Life also has a metabolism. Now this is a process by which life can convert resources from the environment into building blocks so it can maintain and build itself. Life also has a kind of inheritable information. Now we as humans, we store our information as DNA in our genomes, and we pass this information on to our offspring. If we couple the first two, the body and metabolism, we can come up with a system that can perhaps move and replicate. If we couple these now to inheritable information, we can come up with a system that would be more lifelike and perhaps evolve. And so these are the things we'll try to do in the lab, make some experiments that have one or more of these characteristics of life. So how do we do this? Well, we use a model system that we term a protocell. You might think of this as kind of like a primitive cell. It is a simple chemical model of a living cell. And if you consider, for example, a cell in your body, it may have in the order of millions of different types of molecules that need to come together, play together in a complex network to produce something that we call alive. In the laboratory, what we want to do is much the same, but with on the order of tens of different types of molecules, so a drastic reduction in complexity, but still trying to produce something that looks lifelike.
Thank you. Ločnica med organskim in anorganskim, ki se nam je prej zdela trdno določena, začenja izgubljati svoj jasen položaj. Takšna osnova širi naše ozko dojemanje tistega, kar danes pojmujemo kot živo, in omogoča boljše razumevanje možnih oblik živega oziroma protoživljenja v vesolju. Druga točka. Arhitektura oziroma tehnologija, ki je potrebna za razvoj umetnosti v vesolju. Manfred Mücke, strokovnjak za avtonomne, samozdrževalne sisteme, je predstavil razliko med trenutnimi daljinsko vodenimi neumnimi sateliti in prihodnimi avtonomnimi, pametnimi sateliti, ki bodo sami sposobni razbrati in določiti, katere podatke je treba procesirati.
Talking about autonomous satellites is a very hot topic, and I want to shortly motivate what autonomy means there and why autonomy is really important but hard to achieve. Current satellites are really dumb things. They are stupid. They are remote controlled. They are advanced technology, but they are remote controlled from Earth, except very few things. Current satellites are remote controlled. That makes them simple, that's good, but unfortunately it makes operations very, very complex. There are a few space operation centers on Earth, and people there are banging their heads every day to make sure the satellites perform the way we expect them to. Today, these ground-based control centers and the tasks are getting so complex that they become more and more infeasible, and they limit the capabilities of space missions. Another aspect is communication bandwidth. Satellites or spacecraft in general send information to Earth, isn't it? They are linked. We are radio frequency links, and the RF links are actually orders of magnitude smaller than the amount of data all the sensors on the satellite can generate. Sensor resolution has been exploding over the years, while the RF links have basically stalled or moved slowly. So, because the satellites are dumb, they only can send their data to Earth, they have to select. Very little data can be sent to Earth. So basically most satellites we have today, most spacecraft, throw away a large amount of data. Very, very large percentage. And as a result, sensor data is really expensive. And this is a big issue. Buy pictures from space, they're expensive. And that is for a reason. It's because they need to go through the RF link. What is the solution? The solution is autonomy. The solution is a smart satellite spacecraft which can locally process data and decide what needs to be done or what needs to be passed on.
Mücke opozarja na specifiko težav s tehnologijo, ki je v vesolju popolnoma drugačna kot na Zemlji. Rešitev računalniške komunikacije v vesolju vidi v satelitu OBS-SAT, projektu Evropske vesoljske agencije, ki predstavlja laboratorij za programsko in strojno opremo na orbiti.
OBS-SAT is an experimental ESA space mission. And the mission objective is to drastically improve mission control capabilities by two things. First, exploring significantly improved onboard computing performance and eliminating risk barriers. So this sounds very nice. If you present this at a technical podium, everyone will laugh at you because they have tried this for many, many years and no one succeeded. But someone at ESA actually came up with that dream and somehow made it possible. I don't know how, but they found a way to do the following. They found a way to provide a low-cost, open, flying experimental platform for European industry and institutions. So it's nice because we are a European institution. To cost effectively perform in orbit demonstrations. This is very nice. This is what I mean by an in orbit hardware software laboratory. There are four countries currently funding OPSA: Germany, Denmark, Austria, and Poland. ESA is going to provide a satellite design, the build, the launch, and the operation. This is great. This is like Christmas and Easter and birthday and everything.
Razvoj pospeševalnega avtonomnega satelita z možnostjo samostojnega procesiranja podatkov bo vzpostavil tehnološko emancipacijo satelitov, ki ne bodo več odvisni od računalniškega vodenja na Zemlji.
So the satellite has two parts, an inner kernel and an outer shell. And this outer shell is fail-safe. So this is conventional satellite technology. No, it shouldn't fail, because you have no second try. Once the satellite is in orbit, it's there or it's lost. So this is based on space-proven commercial off-the-shelf parts. And then you have an experimental inner part, and that one is relying on ground-based technologies. And this has never been done before. Because no one ever wanted to take the risk of taking ground-based, non-radiation hard technology, sending it to space, just to find out it's not working there. Worse, most things, CMOS technology from Earth, works in space till some unknown moment. And then you have transient errors, and then it works again. And so this is very hard to cope with. And dealing with these transient errors due to single event upsets, so this is what happens in CMOS technology if you have an ionizing particle hitting it, is part of the mission. But the point is, we have this fail-safe outer shell. If that shell thinks that the satellite is doing something stupid, then it reboots the satellite. So, the goal of all experimenters is to reduce the reboot frequency to a level where this satellite is a usable device. In the worst case, it reboots every, I don't know, second, and maybe takes a second to boot again, and you cannot use it. If we succeed, maybe it only reboots every day. This is part of the mission to find out, because interestingly, no one knows how it will behave in space, because no one ever cared about sending these devices to space. And just be assured, these devices are sold by the millions today on Earth, and no one knows how they operate in space.
Thank you. Tretja točka, algoritem. Tradicija računalniške oziroma algoritemske umetnosti, ki bo omogočila razvoj umetnosti v vesolju. Hrvaški vizualni umetnik Darko Fritz je predstavil teorijo računalniške umetnosti, ki je zgradila most med umetnostjo in znanostjo v 60-ih letih prejšnjega stoletja, ko je programiranje postalo način umetniškega izraza.
So, I would like to talk about notions of the program in 60s art on the cases of concrete art and other kinds of art, luminal kinetic art and so on. Computer-generated art and conceptual art. And case study, I'm gonna use an examples, are from New Tendencies series of exhibition that took place from 1961 to 1973, five of them in Zagreb in Croatia, and several around the world in Europe. And these guys, actually coming from fine art, been take a look at science and try to bridge art and science following the historic avant-garde from the 20s and 30s experiences, and they bring another life to that, bridging the gap between science and art, and as well inaugurating some vocabulary in 61, beginning 60s, as we're taking today as a granted, like the research, and especially visual research, even they didn't call their art art, they call it visual research and experiment. They integrate all this vocabulary in fine art, vocabulary which we now kind of forget about where it comes from.
Računalnik je korenito spremenil metodologijo v umetnosti. Kot ena izmed nadaljnjih vej razvoja algoritemske umetnosti se kaže tudi umetnost v vesolju, ki z novo tehnologijo in znanstvenimi eksperimenti pomeni ponovom prelom umetniške paradigme.
François Morellet, who said in the first catalog, a quote, "We are on the eve of the evolution in art, which will be as just as large as the one in the field of science. Therefore, common sense and the spirit of systematic research need to replace intuition and individualistic expression." End quote. So, François Morellet makes the aspect of programming for the process of artistic creation explicit. Programming refers to a self-discipline of the artist that guarantees a rational and traceable procedure and structure that permits, quote, "the public to take part in the creation of the works," end quote. This helps to demystify and democratize art. Morellet writes, "Departing from the controllable elements, the artist has to follow a program. The development of an experiment should realize itself, almost outside of the programmer," end quote. From the moment he sets up the rules, the artist does not intervene or correct the process. It seems that Morellet's definition established the link between arte programmata and computer art, and can be as well widely applied to contemporary generative and software art. The same approach can be applied as well to the part of the spectrum of conceptual art practices from 1960s today. So in 1961, recognizing such activities around the world was formed as a kind of umbrella artwork of similar artists that presented a pluralistic sense of such practices.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom. Commencing countdown, engines on. 3, check ignition, and may God's love be with you.
Topologija nečloveških agentov je postavila teoretične temelje možnosti umetnosti v vesolju. Tisto, kar je bilo prej utopična ideja posameznikov, ki si upajo segati po zvezdah, je dobilo jasno podlago in strategije, s katerimi se lahko umetnost generira tudi izven našega osončja. V kozmos, ampak ne kar tako, temveč zgolj in edino s tistim, kar človeka dela človeškega. S kulturo, filozofe in umetnike v vesolje. Turšič pravi, da se bo to zgodilo najkasneje v 10 letih. Držimo ga za besedo. Tokratne oči, da ne vidijo, je pripravila Kristina Pranič. Tehniciral je Valks, brala sem Valentina. Naslednjič nas lahko slišite čez 2 tedna. Lahko noč.
But she was the queer old skewsh anyhow, and Olivia trinket holes. I'm sure he was the queer old one.
Stand here, you fucking bamboos, do you? Tell the truth, I've got problems, and I'm going to send
you. Wollte der Bach sei ein Fluss, der Fluss sei ein Strom.
Oči da ne vidijo.